Giannotto and Jeffrey phone guests appear on the Landers Nissan phone line. Now, back to Giannotto and Jeffrey. Mark Giannotto,
the columnist from the Commercial Appeal,
and 92.9 FM ESPN's Jeffrey Wright. The Giannotto and Jeffrey Show is live from the Supercut Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I want to take a moment and tell you about the fine people over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They've had to, of course, change the way that they do business, but they're still here to do business with you. Earlier today, we've been working on Mark getting our wedding bands, and Aaliyah has a very specific idea in mind of what she would like for her wedding band. So Howie today FaceTimed Aaliyah to kind of essentially show Aaliyah the idea that he had so they can work together. And that's the type of, it's just the type of customer service that you get at Robert Irwin Jewelers. While Robert Irwin Jewelers is technically has their showrooms closed to the public, they're still offering curbside pickup on online orders as well as purchases made over the phone. Also, go check out their Facebook auctions. You can go to facebook.com/RIJewelers to see when the next auction will take place. You can bid on an item. If you win, Robert Irwin Jewelers will ship that item to you free. If you are on the website and have any questions, you can live chat with anyone at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can also give them a phone call and they will help you out. Again, as mentioned, they'll even FaceTime and G-chat with you. Every online order is shipped with a box of Dinstall's chocolates. Support a local business that supports us, Robert Irwin Jewelers. Each and every day here on Giannotto and Jeffrey, we do a little thing called The List. Let's fire it up.
Giannotto and Jeffrey keep a list of the stories and people they need to talk about. Being on the list can be a good or bad thing. Listen to find out who made it and why. This is The List.
You just made The List!
On Giannotto and Jeffrey on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Coronavirus.
You just made The List!
All right, Jeffrey, it's time for your daily coronavirus update.
Mark, what is the latest with the COVID-19 pandemic here locally and around the United States of America?
All right, Jeffrey, we are up to 1,616 cases of COVID-19 in Shelby County, 35 deaths, including, it was revealed, 3 deaths at the Village in Germantown, the assisted living facility out there, right by where I live, actually. So that is obviously unfortunate news there. 6,589 cases throughout the state now. In other news, we've got, so the stock market is up for the second week in a row. And yes,
people got that stimmy.
Yes, it's up. The Dow jumped 700 points today, which meant the U.S. the stock market was up for the second week in a row, partly because of hopeful signs that the economy will reopen sooner rather than later. You've already got some state, obviously President Trump has come out with a general plan of how he would like this to proceed, but it's ultimately going to be up to governors and local elected officials. Not it's going to be a state by state basis.
I believe the tagline is "Open up America again." He's big on using "again" in the brand.
Yeah, like Texas, for instance. Now, like I think Texas is gonna, like retail is gonna open up on a to go basis. I guess I don't know how that makes any sense in Texas starting next Friday.
How is that different than,
like, it's like retail. Like, you could, I guess, order something from
opening up America again. Thank you.
Okay, you could order something from the Gap and then pick it up at the store curbside, almost like you're getting to-go food, but from retail. That's
Does the Gap still exist?
I don't know. But, yeah, I don't understand why you would do that and not just order it and have it dropped off at your house. Like,
people, I guess, want to get outside.
Yes, but they're going to ease restrictions on parks and elective surgical procedures. Minnesota is opening up its golf courses. Jeffrey, I know that's kind of news for you. News you can use.
I just feel like
I play golf too. I've tried to get into it last year.
I chalked it up as it's a wasted season.
Well, it's funny. My goal for this year was to get good enough so that you would deem me adequate to play with you.
I've invited you. You have an open invitation to come play anytime you want.
You have to actually invite me to a specific day. I'm not going to just – you've said you can come anytime, but I'm not going to just come up to you on a Friday and be like, hey,
let's go play. Listen, my clubs are always in my car. You never know when emergency nine's going to strike. You got to be ready.
I just don't know if you actually want to play with me when you actually see me play.
I have played with all levels from guys that I'm better than to guys that literally could beat me playing left-handed. Like, yeah, I don't care. It's all about the camaraderie.
What is your opinion? So we've had there's now been protests in, I think it's Minnesota, Michigan, Virginia, people who are just sick and tired of being cooped up, of having their freedoms restricted because of this pandemic.
Thought this was America.
And Donald Trump even seemed to give them credence by tweeting today, you know, liberate Michigan, basically echoing what they were chanting in the streets.
When's the last time protesters were on Donald's side? Or they were on the same side?
Yeah, so I'm curious if where are you on this? Like, I would say, like, for instance, when I walk around my neighborhood and talk to neighbors, I would say the unofficial consensus is they're okay with it right now, even though they're getting sick of it, and they feel like the threat is, I guess, not as big as they thought it was going to be. But I got the sense if we go into May and the same restrictions are still in place, my neighborhood at least, people are going to be fed up.
I get the sense that
I'm curious what you've sort of picked up on this.
I get the sense that if, let's say, the numbers stay the same, in which obviously these are serious numbers. This isn't something to just scoff and laugh at. But let's say it stays relatively similar to what we see now. I'm like you. I think come May 1, people are just going to be like, all right, it's time to get back to work and or resume normalcy and whatnot. I don't know. I guess where I am confused is, you know, we saw the original models, and I do understand. I fundamentally understand a model is a projection. That is not. It's not a fortune, if you will, or, you know, telling your future. It's a projection. It's a mathematical probability. But it seemed like we were supposed to be right around peak now. Now they're saying peak will be, you know, the end of May, early June. I don't know. Like, I'm just very confused at what point in the timeline we're on. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm with my neighbors, though.
I'm sensing more and more agitation.
If we get into May and, like, we're not, I'm not saying you got, you, I don't think you can just, I don't think you can just flip the switch. And I also think, you know, to reopen business fully, people have to have confidence that they're not going to get sick when they go back to work, or that the chances are low that they're going to get sick. At the same time, I think if we're not making progress towards reopening everything come May, I'm going to be like my neighbors, I think. I'm going to be a little peeved.
Yeah.
I just think at a certain point, it just becomes part of the danger of being out, and each of us on an individual basis have to make the decision of, do I want to go ahead? Do I want to live my life knowing, like, do I want to go? You have to make the decision. Do I want to go out knowing the dangers that are present? And I think it's at a certain point, it has to become an individual decision.
I think we're getting closer. I don't know if we're there yet, but it does feel to me as if we're closer to COVID-19 being normalized. And yes, I think people understand that it's inherently a risk. And I think we're past the it's just the flu thing and whatnot, and all the narratives that we heard at the beginning. But I do think we're inching closer and closer to people going, you know, there's a lot of things to be scared of on a daily basis, but we don't shut down our lives for it. It does. And I'm not here to morally comment on whether or not that's right or not. I'm just noticing that it feels to me as if it's headed that direction.
No, and I think I am content to continue doing what we're doing through the end of the month, but I think come May, I'm going to be one of those people.
And
I guess it also depends on what do the statistics that we see the next couple of weeks. Like, I think that's going to play.
You got to keep progressing.
Like, if this takes a sharp downturn, I do think we're going to. I think we'll start to get back to okay. Well, we're not.
I mean, look. Yesterday there were still. I think there were almost 4,600 deaths throughout the world yesterday because of COVID-19. But I also think, like, here in America, it's become very evident that there's hot spots. There's certain areas where it is way worse, and this is not one of them. We're not.
Yes, I think I think that was always my concern is, are we going to, concern's maybe too strong, but were we going to have blanket rules as if, you know, to sit there and say Memphis is the same as New York City, I think would be wildly misguided. Or were we going to have like a blanket set of rules for, or was it going to be, okay, we're going to use some discretion, obviously understanding that travel is a huge part of American society. And so just because, you know, a city is far away doesn't mean there's not threats, but it does feel like there's going to be more discretion. And like you say, I don't know if it's just going to be like we flip the switch and we're open again. It does seem like it's going to be more, you know, piecemeal together, but it does feel, I've noticed a sense in, I think people still inherently understand, but it's just like, okay, when can we flip the switch on? Like, you know, at a certain point, like, what are we waiting for? And I'm not here to say whether that's right or wrong, but that does seem to be something that I've noticed. I also wondered if you had seen a few of these stories, because these are a few of my favorite stories.
Okay.
People around the world now are dressing up in formal wear to do such mundane tasks like throwing out the trash. That's been hot on the gram.
Yeah, when I did that, I went outside in shorts and no shirt the other day to throw away trash.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite.
Yes. I might have put on sweatpants.
It's nice weather out. Nice weather out. They got to see the full fur coat of Mark Giannano.
Maybe this one just hits a little too close to home, but I like to think that this is something out there that we should be aware of. Busch Beer is holding a contest to give free beer for life to couples whose weddings were postponed by the pandemic. Mark, do I now need to root for my wedding to be postponed?
I think this all depends on what you think of Busch Light.
Listen, hand up. I'm more of a Bud Light guy myself in terms of...
I'm going to be honest. I haven't had Busch Light since my binge drinking days of college.
I was going to say, you know, Busch Light feels to me like it's in the PBR Natty Keystone category. Yes. And maybe I'm wrong.
It is.
It has a blue ribbon. I was a PBR guy myself.
PBR, I always felt like, was out of those... Like, Natty Light was fine, but it was because there was something about just drinking Natty Light that made, you know, what didn't taste good. It gave you a headache. It gave you a bad hangover.
It tasted cheap.
Yes. Like, but there was something about being able to call it Natty Light.
Or Fratty Light.
Yeah.
Now, I will say
Keystone Light tasted like water. I didn't like it.
Right. But you gotta tip your cap to the marketing campaign, 30 stones for 20 bones. That was always fun.
Yes. I'm trying to think. Then you've got Busch Light. I was never really a big Busch Light guy.
It feels so apparently.
But I always thought PBR of the cheap ones was the best tasting.
It's got a blue ribbon, baby.
Yeah.
Some gambling websites are taking bets on how many people will get coronavirus.
Oh, gosh. That doesn't seem.
And then lastly, the pastor in Louisiana who made news for holding massive services during the lockdown now wants people to send the church their stimulus check.
Nice. By the way, Von Miller, has tested positive for coronavirus. Now that is actually breaking news, Jay Glazer,
Von.
I thought it was strange that he was hyping up his scoop. He's like, I have this big scoop. And usually when Jay Glazer says he has a big scoop, he has a big scoopage. Yeah. And then it turned out it was like the center for the LA Rams tested positive. And I know he was the first, but still it was the center for the LA Rams. Now, if he had said Von Miller had it, that would have been more justification for that.
He also did this weird, he went super aggressive defending himself. But then he also did a move that I love. He went on the Rich Eisen show to defend himself, And then he started talking about the work that he's doing for veterans and whatnot, which nice. It's like, yes, obviously we applaud that, but I do like the, it's like, I see what you're doing here. Like, yeah, let's try to look about something else. Also, this, according to Darren Revelle, a porn site says that it will pay Joe Buck $1 million to announce its cam shows live. The site says it's also accepting applications from other national and local sports commentators. Joe Buck then responded on Twitter, depending on the site, they could just use, they could just be handing some of my money back. So I'll hold out for a little better offer and try to hold on to my day job. But I have to say that I'm flattered.
Yikes.
Who pays for porn? Like, what? Like, it's a great joke, but Joe, like, tell me you're joking.
Oh, my. Roger Goodell said on the Rich Eisen show today, the NFL is, quote, planning and working towards staying on schedule for the season, but acknowledged contingencies are being mulled, so we'll be prepared for all alternatives. So that doesn't mean anything.
That felt like a great Goodell quote, because that felt like a whole lot of nothing.
Okay, let's put The Last Dance.
You just made the list!
So that is, Clinton Yates mentioned it in the last
Sunday
segment.
Night.
Yeah, Sunday night, the Michael Jordan doc is out. The first two parts of it, I guess, are out. I'm really looking forward to watching it. I think ESPN dropped like a five minute clip.
Yeah.
Of the first part today. I remember this season vividly. I was old, you know, I was, I guess, 11, 12 years old at this point. And I'm just really looking forward to reliving some of these Michael Jordan moments. And Michael Jordan has said, essentially, he thinks, even though his people are the executive producers of this thing, he's claiming that he's going to come off looking, he might look bad, you know, because of his competitiveness, aggressiveness, whatever you want to call it, his competitive drive. He was kind of a jerk to others until, you know, in the pursuit of championships.
This feels like a work.
I mean, listen, his closest advisors were the executive producers and picked the director.
Yeah.
So
this is actually my fear. I am not getting, I'm obviously going to watch. I presume it's going to be something we'll talk about next week.
Mm-hmm.
I am not getting my hopes up on this.
I do think it's going to be, like, they had cameras with the team the entire season that year.
I know.
It's just footage that's never been out there.
But it just, you know how I am when I know.
I think it's going to be good because there's been so, like, when in
if
the.
It's censored it, and if it's clearly.
It feels less censored than your typical Jordan stuff, though. It feels, at least from the trailer. Like, here's what I'll say. ESPN and the people behind this doc will get in trouble, will get criticized for false marketing if there's not, like, if it's not peeling back some layers, because they're presenting it in trailers and in advertisements as something that is going to peel back the layers of Michael Jordan, like few other things about him have. Like,
but what could actually make him look bad? Like, we already know, like, he punched Steve Kerr. Like we know some of this. Like, I guess maybe if there's the video of him punching Steve Kerr.
It's, like, different. It's different when, like, you hear the story of it and then, like, you see, like, exactly what he said. Like, him belittling someone. If he does, let's say he does that in the locker room one time. I think it's different to hear Michael Jordan cursed out Steve Kerr after he made a mistake and then actually seeing if you actually saw the footage of that or something like that.
No, I do agree, but, like, I just wonder.
I do think you're right. We might be setting ourselves up to be disappointed.
Yes.
Just because we're so desperate for something right now.
And this team has kind of a mythical element to them.
But yes. But I also think there was so much turmoil with that team, even in the moment it was talked about. But I don't think it was, you know, it wasn't. It was just a different time in place. 15 years ago, whenever that was, when this all went down.
98.
No, 25, 22 years ago.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Because kids, holy cow.
But, like, it was just a, you know, like yes, it was, like, I remember in that finals against the Utah Jazz, it was talked about, like, this could be the, this is probably it for this group.
Well, I remember, like, right after this, like, do you remember they would send cameras to, I think Phil Jackson's ranch was, like, in Montana, and you'd see, like, these live shots of Phil riding his motorcycle because people were trying to like, is he
was
coming?
It, no, it was his. It was it was his ATV.
Yeah. Well, there was yeah. Well, there's. I think there was. I think it was. But like, we'd see all these like images because basically Michael said if Phil comes back, he'll come back, and so it then like put the ball in Phil Jackson's court, and you know everyone was trying to figure out if Phil was coming back, and there was that. There was. You're right. Like this team did have like a. It felt like a lot of turmoil for a successful team, but well, I still think we're setting ourselves up.
I will say this, though. The director said on Jason and John, I believe yesterday, that they got 8 hours of interviews with Michael Jordan. Has he done 8 hours of interviews since he retired combined? I don't think so.
Right, but they Michael Jordan's people picked, I guarantee you, some of the questions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, but I think it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it, and I think a lot of people know Michael Jordan as the GOAT. But I don't. I think with time, some of the memories of how he was so dominant, and what and the sort of star he was, I think it's faded with time a little bit, and I think this will remind everyone. I think I'm gonna come away from this thinking it's really good. I mean, Richard Deitch, the media critic, so I think he's seen 8 parts of it. They gave him eight of ten of them, and he's calling it one of the best things ESPN's ever done.
Okay, that's the first thing that you said that is changing my mind.
Like he doesn't. I think he said basically he doesn't think it's as good as the OJ one.
Yeah,
but it's like up there with the best docs.
In fairness, OJ's people couldn't
control the message there.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But it's I think 8 p.m. Central Time on the unedited version. We're going to get F-bombs and S-bombs.
Oh, yeah.
Curse words galore if you watch on ESPN. If you've got little kids and you don't want them to hear that stuff, they're going to do the bleeped out version on ESPN, too.